All right, 1 Kings chapter number 15. A few weeks ago, we spoke about Jeroboam's evil influence. What was the extent of that influence? Did his influence affect his family? Something for us to keep in mind as we go through this. You know, we're studying the kings and we're studying the divided kingdom. And walking through the history of the divided kingdom, we're going to see a difference between the two kingdoms. Again, we've mentioned some of the kings of Judah will be good kings. I think there's 8 of them. We will see how they follow God. We will also see that even though they are good kings, they are not perfect. And so the people, they're looking for a king who will rule in righteousness and peace. What they will find out is that the present king is not him. So the failures of the kings allow us to see that although a king has been established, a king who's going to sit on David's throne, a king who's going to rule in righteousness and peace, the current king's not him. He has already been established, but he's not yet revealed. So this thought of already and not yet is a constant theme throughout the Old Testament. And instead of us solely focusing on the failures of the kings, and that's easy for us to do, our hearts should be stirred to look forward to the coming king. See, instead of looking at, oh man, look at how bad those guys are, we should say, they had some failures, but we have a king coming who's going to rule in righteousness and peace. So the kings of Israel, though, they're entirely different. They're all evil. And what we see in the kings of Israel is a group of kings attempting to lead a kingdom according to their own wisdom. They attempt to run the kingdom according to their own desires. What will be the end result? The reign of Nadab is a great picture of a king who attempts to rule a kingdom according to his own wisdom. The reign of Nadab is described in only 8 verses, and he reigns less than 2 years. So you think about that, you're thinking, 8 verses, 2 years, what can we learn from that? Hopefully you'll learn that we can learn much. And 1 Kings 15, 25. And Nadab the son of Jeroboam began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. Now we'll wait and read the rest of that later on. So we think about it. Nadab is under the influence. He's under the influence of his father, Jeroboam. He's Jeroboam's son, so he becomes the king. He has a reign of 2 years, but it tells us there he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He tells us why he did evil. He walked in the ways of Jeroboam, his father. He walked in the sin of Jeroboam. So, first of all, how great was the influence of Jeroboam? He influenced his son greatly. We need to understand the impact that our influence has over our children. But the influence of Jeroboam did not stop with Nadab, his son. His influence impacted the entire kingdom. And what was their greatest evil? The greatest sin which they committed, where they made Israel to sin. Notice that. At the end of verse number 26, and in his sin wherewith He made Israel to sin. So the influence of Jeroboam was not just on his own life. The influence of Jeroboam was not on only his son's life, but all of Israel. He caused all of Israel to sin. Now, one of the things I want us to think about as we're going through and studying these kings, and again, we're going to study some good kings. Again, when Jerry stands in front of you, he's going to share with you the good kings. What I want you to do as we go through this study is I want you to see if you can determine what makes them good kings. Often, the king before them was an evil king. So it's not that they had a great example setting in front of them. It's not because of the influence of their predecessor. The king before them was an evil king. So these kings that are good kings, they will take a course of action which leads them to be a good king. I want you to think about what that course of action might be. Again, that's not... No, like Jerry gets to share the good stuff. I get to share all the evil guys. So really, that's about all it has to say about Nadab's reign. It does say at the end of verse 27, "For Nadab and all Israel did lay siege to Gibbethon." So Nadab did attempt to recover Gibbethon. What is Gibbethon? Well, Gibbethon was a border town given to the Kohathites. The Kohathites were Levites, and so therefore they were not given an inheritance in Israel. They were given cities in the land of Israel, given the cities and what they called the suburbs, but it was the cities and the surrounding fields. And who were the Kohathites? The Kohathites were the ones that were responsible for caring for the objects of the tabernacle, like the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the table of showbread and all of that. So this city, Gibbethon, which was given to the Kohathites, it was in the territory that was given to the tribe of Dan. It was on the border with Philistia. And as I was thinking about this reading of Nadab and his reign and the city of Gibbethon on the outskirts of the inheritance that's given to Dan, it took my mind immediately back to the book of Judges. And it took me back, do you remember when they went to Dan? Remember when Micah and his mother made their own little idol and they became their own priest, and then this group of people was coming by and they picked up Micah and they went along with them, and then if you remember, they went to this far city that was far removed from everyone in a beautiful valley, and they went to that area and they wiped out an entire city. I think the city was Lachish at the time, but it became known as Dan. My point being, the inheritance of Dan was the far reaches of the nation of Israel. And this town, Gibbethon, was on the border of Philistia. And it seems to be, with all the study that I've done, that Gibbethon was a city that was a constant battleground. You know, it was on the border of Israel. It was close to Philistia. Battle back and forth over that city. Kind of puts me in mind of Gaza today, right? Also, you get the idea, you're studying that city, you think about Gibbethon might have seceded from Israel. But now we come to this understanding that the Philistines now live in the city of Gibbethon. Did the Kohathites abandon the city? Remember, and we studied this recently, when Jeroboam became the king and he made the golden calves, What happened to the Levites that lived in Israel? You remember, they journeyed down to Judah because they had the job of leading the worship of God, and they had no job now in Israel because there was no worship of God, and so they made their way down to Judah. So this city that was theirs, they might have abandoned it. But no matter what, here you have Gibeathon that is under control of the Philistines. And again, think about the nation of Israel. Instead of it expanding the way that it should and going and acquiring all the inheritance, this land seems to sort of fall back underneath the time of the judges. Just every man doing what is right in their own eyes. Gibeathon is under Philistine control. So Nadab attacks the city to try to take the city back. And what happens during that time? Let's go back up to the top of verse 27. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. So Nadab is murdered. Again, nothing really significant here other than what happens when the ways of God are forsaken. What happens when this city or Israel as a whole decides to leave the ways of God behind? What happens when they begin to respond to life according to their own wisdom, doing things their own way? It leads to destruction. And we also see, instead of Israel being a nation that is separate unto God, a nation that is going to be an example of this is what happens when you follow the ways of God, and remember the blessing to Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Instead of being blessed, you see this portion of Israel coming under worldly wisdom. And they begin to turn and go the way of all the other nations of the world. How do all the other nations of the world operate? Right? I mean, you study history. You study secular history. What often happens to a leader? A leader's in pretty good shape, and he's doing pretty good until he makes someone mad, and then what's he do? Somebody executes him, and they take his place, right? I've actually heard Mueller on the briefing talking about Putin, and they always talk about all of these Russian leaders. And what happens to Russian leaders? Well, they rule for a while, and then someone ends their rule. And most of the time they end their rule because they end their life. But that's the way of the wisdom of the world. Someone wants the power, they go and seize that power. And if they find the opportunity, they seize the opportunity, and they take someone out. And so that's what happened here. Baasha is doing what someone in the world would do. A worldly nation. And how does he treat the family of Nadab? What's it say? Verse 28. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. What did he do? He wiped all the family of Jeroboam out. He didn't leave any. And again, that's what the nations of this world do, right? He destroyed all the family of Nadab. So Baasha conspires against Nadab. He smites Nadab at Gibeathon, and you know, you can think that they're in this battle, and maybe Baasha's on the inside and he's given the responsibility of protecting. Or maybe it was, you know, like some of the stories you see in the book of Judges, you know, where they go in privately and smite them and all that, whatever. No matter how it happens, he murders Nadab, and Baasha takes the throne, murders the family of Jeroboam. How great is the evil influence of Jeroboam? All of his family suffers because of his evil influence. And so here, the greatest lesson for us to learn in this part is that what happens when you leave the ways of God? What happens when you try to rule according to your own wisdom, according to your own ideas? Destruction. What happens when you come under evil influence? Destruction. Should be a warning to us to love the Word of God. Should be a warning to us to seek the wisdom that only comes from God. Because if we choose to follow the ways of the world, what we will find is destruction. But what happens to the one who knows the law of the Lord and meditates in there day and night? What does David have to say about that? Mark, I thought I could find it quicker than that. What does David say about the one who meditates? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The one that follows the Word of God, the one that meditates in the law of the Lord, that one is the one that's going to be blessed. And so we get this lesson. What happens when you depart the Word of God? Destruction. What happens when you do what David said in Psalm 1 and meditate in the law of the Lord and apply that to your life? You will find blessing. So that's the first lesson. Second lesson. Verses 29 and 30, it says, "And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him according unto the saying of the Lord which he spake by the servant, his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, in which he made Israel sin by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger." Nadab was evil. But he didn't have a chance. He was going to suffer because God said that Jeroboam's descendants are all going to die. Ahijah the prophet, if you turn back to 1 Kings 14:6, here's the prophecy that came, and we read this whenever Jeroboam sent his wife to ask about his son. "And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, and she came in at the door, that he said, Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, For as much as I have exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung, till it all be gone." That's the prophets of Ahijah. Man, does that seem harsh? Well, think about the extent of his sin. I'm only did Jeroboam sin, but he made the entire nation to sin. And not only did he make the entire nation to sin, but he turned their heart away from worshiping God. Remember what God says in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to given to graven images. He provoked the Lord to anger. He led people away from following God wholeheartedly to worshiping false idols, and he provoked the Lord to anger. So what are your thoughts when you think about this? I'll tell you the first thing that I thought when I read that phrase towards in 1 Kings 15, 30. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. The last phrase, he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. You know what my first thought was? I pray that I never provoke the Lord to anger. So what do we see here? We see here that when you turn away from God and follow idols, God is not pleased. And when you have evil influence and you lead someone to turn away from God, God is not pleased. But we also see the faithfulness of God to His Word. You know, we love it when God is faithful to His Word, when He makes promises of blessing. But we need to know that God is faithful to His Word when He promises cursings and judgment also. But what we need to understand is no matter what, God is faithful to His Word. Nadab gives us an example of wasted potential because of the rejection of God. I heard that in a sermon. Nadab wasted potential because of the rejection of God. That statement can be made about many. They had so much potential. They were given so much by God. God had gifted them in so many ways. They had opportunity, but they wasted it by not using it for the Lord. Can that statement be made about you? That you have a lot of potential, but you wasted it because you rejected the ways of God. So, we see the extent of the evil influence of Jeroboam. We see what happens when God's ways are forsaken. We see that we cannot follow our own ways. We think of the words of Proverbs which say, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Matthew, Jesus said these words, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So those who are following their own ways, the Word of God tells us it leads to destruction. That's what happens when we follow our own ways. That should encourage us not to follow our own ways. But also, as we mentioned, this causes us to look beyond the kings of this world, to look beyond the leaders of this world, and to recognize there is not one leader in this world that's going to usher in peace. I don't care how we might think he aligns with us politically, he is not going to usher in peace. There is only one king that's going to usher in peace, and that's the Prince of Peace when he sits upon the throne of David. And so instead of looking at the kings of this world for peace, instead of looking at the kings of this world to give us satisfaction and hope, we need to look beyond them and look to the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and recognize the peace that he gives is the peace that we should be looking for. So under whose influence is your life today? Is your life influenced by the world or by the Word of God? And What type of influence are you being on others? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you that we can look to your word and find confidence and strength, even though it seems just a small portion of Scripture, what blessing there is for us in it. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to worship you today. I pray that we've found the strength that we need to sustain us for the week. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.